You know, when I was a kid, I loved playing with Play-Doh. I loved the colors that it came in. I loved the smell and just the texture, and you could sit there and squeeze and play, and you could create anything. And sometimes the most therapeutic and fun thing to do was just roll it and make that, see how long you can make the snake before it broke, right? But the cool thing is, after you make something, you smash it and you can make something again. Good morning, my name is Kathy Hart. I'm the associate minister here at Palm Harbor United Methodist Church. And today we are talking about the potter and the clay. And when I heard that story, I often thought of Play-Doh. And I had the opportunity to go to a real pottery studio a couple of times and learn that it's not as easy as it looks. I have a new appreciation for those who have that talent. I certainly do not. But what I want to share with you today is lessons that I learned going to the potter's house. Before we do that, let's talk about the story of Jeremiah. Our scripture this morning comes from Jeremiah 18, verses 1 through 6. And this is the story of the potter's house. A little bit of background before I share that is Jeremiah was a prophet during a time between 626 BC and 586 BC. He was a prophet when there were five different kings, and these kings were corrupt and power hungry, and they were leading the Israelite people away from God and towards idolatry. And so Jeremiah's message was of repent and return to God, or face judgment, and then later it was restoration. And the people, Jeremiah saw the people turn from God. He saw the nation of Israel fall and go into war and exile. And all the time he continued to faithfully preach God's message to the people. So one day God tells Jeremiah, I want you to go down to the potter's house, and I just want you to observe. And so that's where our scripture starts today in verse 18, chapter 18, verses 1 through 6. The Lord gave another message to Jeremiah. He said, go down to the potter's shop and I will speak to you there. So I did as he told me and found the potter working at his wheel. But the jar he was making did not turn out as he had hoped. So he crushed it into a lump of clay again and started over. Then the potter gave this message. O Israel, can I not do to you as this potter has done to his clay? As the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand. Jeremiah goes on to talk about the destruction of Israel, how God can do that. But that is the interpretation is historical and those things. But today I want to invite you to apply this to your life, to our lives, because there are lessons that we learn going to the potter's house. And so today I invite you to join me in the potter's house as we observe and watch. We have our very own in-house potter. Martha Stoltz from MCS Clay Studio is going to come and spin some clay for us while I preach. I invite you to enjoy watching her work as you hear God's words today, and maybe just in observing like Jeremiah did, you will get a message from God as well. Welcome, Martha. So I had a chance to go and a couple of times and work with Martha at her studio, and so I want to share with you six lessons that I learned from the potter. The first one is that the potter is present. I learned very quickly that if you are not paying close attention to the work that you are doing, mistakes happen. There is a wheel, there's a foot pedal that she's going to be using that controls the speed of the wheel, and you can have a lot of fun and let that thing go, and then the clay is going to fly right off, right? Or the other thing you have to do is you have to make sure that you are in tune with what's happening with your clay, Because as that begins to build up and you're building walls and it rises up, if it's not even, you get a wobbly effect and it just becomes a blob again. So you must be present with your clay. The potter is always present with us. God is with us. He does not control. The other thing that I learned was there's a pressure that as you're raising the walls, you have to keep a very steady pressure as it's spinning around. If it's too much pressure, the wall gets too thin. And if it's not enough pressure, there's no pot happening. It's just a blob spinning around. And so you have to make sure that it's just the right pressure. Well, God is with us. He does not force, he does not put pressure, but he is always right there. As the world is spinning around, he's right there guiding us. And this was so important for us to know that when he went to Joseph, he sent an angel to Joseph just before Jesus was born, when Mary was pregnant, and gave this message. The angel said, I want you to name your son Emmanuel, which means God is with us. That was an important message for us to have. And so the potter is always present. And it is by his grace that he molds us and shapes us and transforms us into the vision that the potter has, which is to restore us to the image of God for which we were created. And so this grace that I speak of, there's a definition that I found many years ago in the Wesley Study Bible, and it says, grace is God's active and transforming presence in our lives. If that does not describe the potter, is present, shaping, molding, transforming us into the image of God. And the potter has this vision, and he doesn't force it. He's very, very gentle and tender and loving. And that leads to the next lesson. The potter is patient. God is so patient with us. Amen? But patience is something that I thought I had until I sat at a pottery wheel for the first time. Because I want it to do what I want it to do, when I want it to do it, and I want it to do it now. I wonder if God ever feels that way. But so it wasn't doing quite what I wanted it to do, and the walls weren't even, and I was getting frustrated. You have to be patient. It takes time to raise the walls. It takes time to pull beauty out of this lump of clay. And God is patient with us. And I'm really thankful that Martha was patient with me. Because as mine was spinning on the wheel and things didn't go right, and there were six of us in the class, and we'd all go, Martha! She would very lovingly, very patiently come over, and she gave, start your wheel. And then she would add her hands to our hands and show us exactly what we needed to do. And she would smooth out the flaws that we had created and make it beautiful again. Friends, God is so patient with us. And he will take his time to smooth out those flaws in your life. And he waits for us. There's a scripture in 2 Peter 3:9 that talks about this, how patient God is. The Lord isn't really being slow about his promise, as some might think. No, he is being patient for your sake. He does not want anyone to be destroyed. He wants everyone to repent. God wants his image restored in each and every one of us, and he will take the time, and he will be present with us, and he will continue to walk with us in our life until that happens. God will also use different people, like Martha helped me. God uses other people in our lives, teachers, friends, pastors that walk alongside us to help mold and shape. And that it takes a while to make something beautiful, but God is willing to wait. A third lesson is that the potter gives us life. If you look at the creation story, God took a handful of dust, breathed his life into it to create mankind. What is clay? It is just dust mixed with water and soil and some minerals. And God puts that life into us. Water is important in pottery and in our lives. Jesus talked about the living water that he gives to us. This living water is the Holy Spirit. But in John 7:38, he says, "Anyone who believes in me may come and drink. For the scriptures declare rivers of living water will flow from his heart." This living water, the Holy Spirit, is how God is present with us all the time. He gives us the Spirit to dwell within us, molding us and changing us and transforming us from the inside out. Now I want to take a moment and shift from the potter to the clay. Here's where the analogy breaks down just a little bit, because the lump of clay over here does not have a mind of its own, although sometimes you think it does. And it can't make decisions, and it can't truly resist. But if God is the potter and we are the clay, we can and often do resist. So I think some lessons about the clay is important this morning. The first lesson is that the clay must be centered. One of the first things that Martha does when she begins is make sure that the clay is at the center of the wheel. If it's not centered, as it begins to spin and as she begins to try and shape it, it gets a little wobbly and wonky, and it starts doing this a little bit on the wheel. You ever feel like your life is doing this sometimes a little bit? You're a little off center. We have to center the clay on the wheel. So I ask you this morning, what are you centering your life on? In Jeremiah 17, he gives a beautiful illustration of where we should be centered. He says, "Blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and confidence." That is our center. And here's what happens when we are centered on God. They're like trees planted along a riverbank with roots that reach deep into the water, the living water again. Such trees are not bothered by the heat or worried by long months of drought. Their leaves stay green and they never stop producing fruit. That is what a centered life can be. And droughts, winds, storms, whatever comes, if you are centered and rooted in Christ, you can face whatever challenges life throws at you. See, God did not promise us a life without problems. He promised us that he would be with us, holding us, guiding us, molding us, shaping us through it, helping us by giving us the water of life to strength and endure whatever it is that we face. So this morning I ask, where is your hope? Where are you placing your confidence? What is your center? Is it a parent? A friend? Yourself? A pastor? A leader? Friends, all of these people will fail you at some point in time. But God never fails. Put your center yourself on him. Trust in him and in him alone. And Jesus Christ is our rock upon which we can stand and stand firm. The next lesson is probably the hardest one for all of us. The clay must bend to the hand of the potter. Oh, how we resist. Words like surrender, relinquish, submit. These words are all associated in our culture with weakness, and I saw the hairs on the back of some of your necks bristle when I read those words, right? We like to be in control, and we don't ever want to appear weak. But I propose a different framework for that, that it's not weakness. It takes more strength and courage to surrender, to give up that control, to let go of the fear of what's going to happen next, than it does to be in control. There is a prayer that Jesus taught us that says, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Your will be done. That is what it means to surrender, to let go of your life and let God mold you and shape you. Stop resisting the potter's hand in your life. This Jesus also said in the garden before he was arrested, "Not my will, but thy will." That is what it means for the clay to bend to the potter's hand, that we let go of our vision for our life and embrace God's vision and God's will for where he wants us to go. But friends, we are stubborn people. We are strong-willed people. And sometimes we resist and the pottery becomes a little wobbly or wonky or marred. But the potter can come smooth out those rough edges again. As long as there is living water, as long as we are on the center of the wheel, and as long as we bend to the potter. But there are times when we become hard-hearted, resentful, bitter, angry. So what happens? Well, Martha's class was only an hour long. God has an entire lifetime to mold and shape us. I had an hour. This was my pottery. This is what I created in an hour. I'm kind of proud of it, but I told Martha I'm embarrassed about putting it up here with all of her beautiful work. But after the hour was up and after we finished shaping and molding and doing all that we needed to do, and we kind of look at it, it may not have been the vision that I wanted it to be. I think I wanted a dog bowl this time, Martha, and I don't think my dog could eat out of this one. But basically, it's as good as it's going to get. That's where I got. And so then you give it to the potter, and it goes into the fire. It goes into the kiln. And now, hard. It's hard now. And, oh, there's a little flaw right here. Can we fix that? Probably not, because it's not pliable anymore. So I just have to live with the flaw. When we become resistant, when we become embittered, sometimes when we become self-righteous and think, okay, God, I believe in you, I follow you, this is the way, and I'm good, I don't need to change anymore. And we put ourselves into the kiln. And now we're kind of stuck with what we created. We get frustrated. And Jeremiah got frustrated with the people as well. When he was preaching repent, when he was preaching turn your will over to God, the people responded to him in Jeremiah 18:12 saying, "Don't waste your breath. We will continue to live as we want to, stubbornly following our own evil desires. So then God tells Jeremiah, go back to the potter's house. But in this time, instead of observing what the potter is doing, I want you to buy a piece of pottery. And go back and talk to the Israelites again. Give them your message. Tell them to repent or they will face destruction. And when they don't listen, which they didn't, I'm not going to do it again, Martha. Drop the pottery and it shatters everywhere. So that's what Jeremiah did. The people wouldn't listen, so he took the bowl and he shattered it. Hundreds of pieces all over the ground. Not only is it not pliable and shapeable now, it is irreparable. That brings me to the last lesson that I learned at the potter's house, that the clay is transformed. The potter is masterful. And when we stay centered, when we stay in tune with God, when we keep the living water, the Holy Spirit, flowing through us, then he can mold and shape and fix anything that is flawed or damaged in us. But what about the broken pieces? Do we forget who the potter is? God wants to repair all that is broken. In Ezekiel 36:26, God says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. He takes what is broken and makes it beautiful. But what about all these pieces? What do we do with all of these pieces? There's a beautiful Japanese art of pottery called kintsugi. And what they do is they take broken pieces and lacquer, and they take the lacquer and they mix it with flecks of gold, and they repair and put together the broken pieces and create something beautiful. That's what God can do. That's what the potter does. He takes the clay and transforms it into something beautiful. So the potter is always present. The potter is patient, and he works to see his finished product until it is done. And he's not finished with you yet. He continues to mold and shape and transform our lives. Think of the new beginnings he gave to Abraham, to Moses, to David, Jonah, and Peter when they failed. And he will do the same for us today. It is by his grace the potter transforms us. Remember, grace, the definition is his active and transforming presence in your life. And we must remain centered upon him. We must bend to his will so that he can shape and mold us. Today we have an opportunity to experience that grace through the sacrament of communion. So as you come today to receive the elements, come with your hearts centered and ready to bend to the potter's hand. Amen.